Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus has been in business for two decades. We've been in the business of buying and selling rare coins and precious metals during that entire time. There's never been a time. One thing that I positioned myself for is there has never been a time that I have not been buying and selling. I have never turned anybody away for, legitimate product. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had people walk in with rocks that they think are gold and fun things like that. But anything legitimate, we've always bought and sold. So we're always here to do business. We're very legitimate. We're very the name progressive's a little touchy. How about financially progressive? And what I mean by that is we are very, very willing to evolve. We work hard to keep our pricing extremely competitive. I promise you, folks, you need to hear what I'm saying right now. This is important. We will always offer you the best prices in the nation for any legitimate business, okay? And the reason I say any legitimate business is like I have seen, a crazy antique shop trip over a coin in the bottom of a box or something and not sell it for enough. Or there used to be this, I think it was a pawn shop, the House of Time or whatever downtown that used to, I used to have in my store a big bowl of nice quality silver dollars for a certain price. And they wanted to copy me. And they were selling, they were putting stuff in there that didn't belong in there. They were selling, I'll be honest with you, some pretty spendy coins for not nearly enough money. They didn't know what they were doing, and they ended up selling the whole batch to me after a few customers had bought from them, drove up the road to Coins Plus. In one case, a fisherman from Alaska who spends the winters here had gone down there and picked up literally probably 10 silver dollars that were valued between $200 and $400 each. He'd picked them up at the time for, maybe 25, 30 bucks a piece. The owner of the business didn't know what they were doing, so he came up and sold them to me, and he told them what he was doing, and a couple other people had done the same. We get a lot of that. We've had different, quote, junk stores, I won't name names, up in Hilliard that they'll get a batch of coins in, and they don't know what, but the problem is, they get piles of garbage that they charge just dearly for. I used to go to public auctions, and I would sit there and buy, polished up, destroyed, ruined, gold and coins, and just not good stuff. And I used to try way too hard. And now we've kind of settled. We will travel to buy significant collections, so keep that in mind. I mean, if you or your grandmother, last week we bought a $120,000 coin collection out of Colville that was very, very, very substantial, very impressive. The collector was very knowledgeable. For me as a collector, it's very fun because what happens is there is an evolution that a coin collector goes through. A coin collector starts out buying junk, and they have a budget, and they keep it tight, and they buy junk, and then they migrate. And what happens is, for the most part, other than billionaires, which we've also dealt with, they start out where quantity is their primary driver. And then what happens over time is, as they gain knowledge and experience, they begin to hone down to quality. And so they'll take, you know, they go from piles and bags and, you know, just boxes and huge hoards, and they'll trade it in, and they'll tighten it up and tighten it up and tighten it up until they have a really cool, phenomenal collection. The problem with this, the problem is that there's a level of attrition where we lose customers. In other words, people go to, say, Goldline or Rosalind Capital or Swiss America or Monex or whatever, and they advertise. You know, Rosalind Capital is the greatest deceiver on earth. You know, they've got William Devane, and, you know, I've got gold, and gold is the only thing that's going to last, and gold this and gold that. And he says, we've got the best prices and the best coins, and it's just a total racket. You call them up. I mean, I've called them up, trust me, to say, okay, how much will you sell me American Gold Eagles for? Okay. So an American Gold Eagle, you know, is 4 or 5% over spot. And that may sound high to you. First of all, spot is whatever the price of gold is, right? And they'll say, well, so a gold eagle, okay, should trade at 4 to 5% over spot. In general, I mean, maybe a little bit more if it's a smaller coin, or, you know, I'm not going to get into all the hyper details, but the bottom line is, you know, there's a certain price it's worth. So what they quoted me was 6% over spot. And I thought, okay, well, that's a little steep. And I said, so what's your price? They said 6% over spot. I said, what's your price? 6% over spot. We did this like 8 times. I said, what is the price? Okay. So all of a sudden they quote me a price, and it's 13% over spot. I'm like, well, you said it was 6% over spot. And they said, well, that's actually, 6% over spot's our cost, and we've got to make our money. And so we've got to put on our profit. And I mean, it just, I won't go into great depth. I think you hear what I'm saying. There's a lot of deception in this business, because the bottom line is, in this business, truth be told, the margins are just fine line. Okay. You've got silver that, 4 or 5% is the margin, and you're like, 4 or 5%, gee, that's a lot for silver. You know, you think that that's what we make. No, that's not what we make. I have to hedge, and you've got to understand that every single day the price of metals change. And as the price of metals change, I've got to ride the roller coaster. And as a business owner, can you imagine that? I mean, and you have to understand, when you, the customer, walk in and you say, Kevin, today I'm buying 1,000 ounces of silver. I can't say, you know, Mr. Smith, let me tell you, I can't sell you silver today because it's only $15.78. But I'll tell you what. When it's $16.50, I'd be happy to sell it to you at that time for 4% over spot. I buy when you tell me to buy, and I sell when you, the customer, tell me to sell. And so I have to ride the market. And I'm not, this isn't some sob story. I'm just educating you on what we do. And since I'm doing that, I'm going to key you in on 2 key words, which, I never intend to do this, but the radio show, things come to mind, and let's do it. There's a premium and a margin, okay? Now, there is a barrage of various products available to you as a consumer. You know, American eagles, Chinese pandas, you know, Canadian maple leaves, Australian kangaroos, Australian nuggets, Austrian philharmonics, you know, which I like because you can get a ton of them in a silver dollar tube, but that's another story. You can get like 31 in a silver dollar tube. I've got a bunch of those in my vault. Love them. Buffaloes. Oh, my gosh. I love the American buffalo. Oh, my gosh. But they're pure gold. They're so beautiful. But the laws for IRAs were made before the buffalo, so the buffalo's not an IRA-acceptable product. Although you can put it in as 999 bullion, and so it technically it is and it isn't. But anyway, proof gold eagles. I mean, they literally, folks, low mintage proof gold eagles right now, cheap. Excuse me, but what? I mean, they're trading just nutty low. Super low mintages, super low prices. There's a whole bunch of stuff like this. Silver dollars. I mean, we got into a very substantial hoard of American silver dollars, Morgans, out of Montana, of course, where I'm from. And there, I mean, we've bought from a very well-known billionaire, a man whose business has grown just tremendously. And he collected with his uncle up to the 70s. I won't go into the details, but we got this huge hoard of silver dollars. A lot of, they're nice, original. Now, see, with coins, if you've ever been around antiques or anything like that, there's stuff that you like. And it's original, and it's original patina. It's like if you watch the Antique Roadshow, and you watch and you see people that take a shaker dresser, and you know Uncle, you know Butch sanded her down and restained it and ruined it, you know, and they go, well, you know, that would have been worth $250,000, and now it's worth $2,000 because your Uncle Butch ruined it. Well, coins are the same. We want originality, and I really wish I could pass on to you the absolute desire and rarity of coins in general. I have a bunch of coins, a bunch of car. I personally have an obsession with Carson City coins, whether it be Carson City dollars, of course, which are number one, and then half dollars, dimes, quarters, whatever. I've got all that stuff, and we've got all that available. We've been building a lot of cool portfolios. We've really got a cool inventory right now. Today, the stock market dropped, 617 points. Why? Well, simple. Because China tried to, quote, punch back to Trump. Well, here's the problem. Trump put in tariffs on $600 billion in imports. China tried to put tariffs on $60 billion in imports. Now, why the discrepancy? Why would China only be able to put tariffs on $60 billion and Trump can do $600 billion? It's very simple. How many Made in China stickers have you seen on the stuff you buy? I'm going to tell you a couple. There's some things that have disappointed the tar out of me, and I'll tell you one of them. There's a company we've worked with for decades, one of the big, you know, a big jewelry wholesaler that had, everything was always made in the USA, made in the USA. Well, now guess what? Nope. Now they got Made in China stamped on this garbage, and I'm like, come on, guys. So when I call them, I'm like, I want Made in the USA. And you know, if you buy a bridal ring, from us, we deal with companies that have Made in the USA. Folks, here's what I'm going to say. There is a difference. You want a Made in the USA wedding band? I'm not kidding you. It'll be twice as thick. It'll be twice as hefty. It's just a better product. It's just a better product, period. I'll admit we've lost it. Why? Because China came into the market and they cheapskated the heck out of it. A whole bunch of companies have been forced into this. Now, there's a slight change coming. Thank you to Donald J. Trump. He's made us proud to be Americans, right? I mean, he's a tough guy. He's not a true Republican. I'm going to be honest with you. He is a spendthrift. Nutcase? How about that? No, he's not. But he really, really, really doesn't do anything to do with our deficit. He has no interest in fixing our deficit. And we're tapping on $23 trillion. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you don't even know what a trillion is. I mean, a billion is 1,000,000,000. A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. I mean, what is that? You know, it's so much money. I met when I was at Tetiaroa, which is a private island in north of Tahiti. There was a 3-day period. I've mentioned this, that I was there with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and his new wife, and then Leonardo DiCaprio had just left to get his Oscar. And then, you know, some other journalists came to the island, and it was a new resort, and it was phenomenal, and blah blah blah. It was wonderful, but you know, they had, you know, just, oh my gosh, the quality of clothing and jewelry and things that they were wearing. And I asked him specifically about a particular piece he had, and he said it was made in the USA. And I was like, whoa, you know. And he said the USA makes the best products. He said the problem is that they've never lowered their standards enough to capture the world. And I said, isn't that a good thing? I mean, this guy was so out of touch. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who's worth $960 billion that he controls, almost a trillion, was obsessed with American-made products other than vehicles. He said their vehicles are junk. And Mercedes-Benz, made out of Germany, a very fine product. Why is the Mercedes-Benz such a fine product? Have you ever wondered that? Well, it's because they ship all over the world, right? And not only that, when you're shipping all over the world, you've got cars everywhere from the Sahara Desert to Siberia and everywhere in between. And so you have to service, you have to guarantee and offer service and warranties in every single possible climate. And the American product is not such, you know. And so this guy's, you know, we had talks and about that stuff, and he was worth just, you know, he's got enough money to buy countries. And they got involved in some stuff lately I won't get into. But we'll just slide right back and talk about what happened today in the U.S. stock market. The stock market took a pretty good dump. It dropped, the Dow dropped 617 points. I mean, folks, you know, that may not sound like much to you, but that's a lot. And we have got the Dow just through the moon. And I'm looking at a chart that goes back 5 years. And I am, you know, it really isn't that impressive, okay? And as I've been talking a lot, precious metals-based assets, biblically-based assets, are such a critical part of your existence. You've got to have a portion of your money in it. Please do not. I did the annuity thing. Don't touch them. If you're going to get an annuity, call me. Please. I don't care what the name is. If it's coming through an insurance salesman run, call me. I'll explain it. It is not. I guarantee you from the bottom of my heart, it has nothing to do with anything to do with competition in sales. It has to do with an extensive amount of experience from actuarial science and insurance licensing and my family owning an insurance agency and everything. It's just they're bad, bad, bad. When you enter most annuities, 99% of them, your money's gone. Okay, by the time if you just decide you want your money back, you're getting a fraction of it back. With precious metal-based assets, you know, it starts out in Genesis chapter 2, which I've explained, blows my mind. God creates the world, tells you where to go get gold in the land of Havilah, low sandy land. Long story, why is it in a low sandy land? That's where it originally was. There's areas when they first started to mine and harvest gold. In most places, they pick it up off just right off the ground. And then the huge mines, even like the Comstock load for silver, was an entire mountain of pure silver, just gray. And they would just go up there with great big dredges and just shovel, 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 shovel. And that's why the Carson City silver dollar is so cool. They built a mint there because there was so much silver. They would just refine what came out of the earth. The Carson City silver dollars in most cases are 98 to 99% pure silver, where the U.S. average coinage, the old coinage, was 90%. So the land of Havilah, as the Bible mentions it, says, you know, basically you pick the gold up off the ground. I mean, wow, I'd like to go back and do that. And then you go on and, you know, you go through the Bible and it absolutely makes gold wow. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like there is so many scriptures referring to gold and silver. I'm sorry, I need to always mention both. But one of my weaknesses on the show, and believe me, there's about 1,100 of them, but one of them is that I always use gold as a general term, as a capture-all term. And it's really important, you know, where you go through the Bible and he talks about the land of Havilah and there is gold there. And then he says gold is good. And it's the highest form of compliment in the rabbinical language of ancient Hebrew. You cannot use a higher, better word. And then, you know, there's just story after story about gold. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing, you know, that kind of stuff. And the Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he, you know, I'm still in Genesis, became rich, and he's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold. And then it goes on, you know, in Genesis, there's just story after story. Put the gold necklace around his neck. And then how can we, you know, it says, behold, the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. This is when Joseph is playing with his brothers. You know, he used gold, right? And then during the Exodus, every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house, articles of silver and gold, articles of gold. And then it just goes on and on like this. You shall make no other gods besides me, gold, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourself. Well, obviously, I'm not telling you to take your gold and make a god out of it. But the point is, what is the obsession with gold? You know, and then he talks about you shall overlay it with pure gold and cast gold rings. And it just goes on and on and on throughout the Bible that, you know, when everything gold, just gold, 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 gold. I'm looking through here. It's unbelievable. Overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold as holders. And you shall overlay the bars with gold. And this is, you know, everything's just gold, 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 gold. And we go on and we get to the temple. And, you know, it really, you know, gold is a huge thing in the Bible. and why, what's happened to us, folks? We've gone from gold, which is real money straight out of the earth, and we've gone to what? Paper promise from a private corporation? You know? And articles of gold, Exodus again. I'm just looking at all this. I can't even keep up with. I can't even keep up with all of it. It's so crazy. But I'm getting some bizarre feedback there. But anyway. So you guys get the point. You know that when Solomon built his temple, you know, everything, numbers is, you know, gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense. And he goes on and on and on and on about that. And, you know, I mean, I'm just Deuteronomy. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, and he, you know, there's the blessings of God. And he just, you know, you've got, but all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. That's Joshua 6:19. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver and the gold and articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And it goes on and on and on, and I don't want to bore you to death, but I think you get the point, you know. How about this? The weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments. And take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart and put the articles of gold, which you return to him, being God, as a guilt offering in the box. So God wanted to be paid in gold. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that was in it, with it, and in which the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. And it goes on, in Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices. So God wanted to be paid in gold. David took the shields of gold, which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer, and brought them to Jerusalem. And it goes on and on. And then he took the crown of their king from his head, and its weight was a talent of gold. I mean, do you get the point? We have no concern for silver or gold with Saul or his house. You know, we've got plenty. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits. This is where we get into the temple. The inner sanctuary, this is where it just goes crazy with gold. Solomon was so rich, folks, and it was gold, 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 gold. And I'm telling you, you get the point. I'm beating this dog to death, but trust me, it is what God created it. It's a divinely created element. We live in the universe. Folks, I want to take a quick second, and I want you to stop, and I want you to think of the magnificence of this universe, and then the magnificence of the earth upon which we live, the magnificence of God's creation, just the absolute phenomenality, and the fact that you've got people that are atheists and agnostics. It's like, what? You know, how could you do this? My son studying biology, and I was looking at, you know, just the construction of organisms and cells and you know, the physical properties of our earth, and osmosis and hypo and hyperosmosis, and you know, just, oh my gosh, just the way everything functions, folks, it is so complex. First of all, there's no question of gold or of God's creation being absolutely, phenomenally, totally, and unconditionally so far over our heads. Then for me, it's easy to understand somebody who struggles with God's creation or God, just because it's so big and it's so unfathomable. He, you know, and then you've got in 1 Kings 6:22, he overlaid the whole house with gold until the whole house was finished, and the whole altar, which was the inner sanctuary, he overlaid with gold. By 1 Kings 6:28, he overlaid the cherubim with gold. And then 6:30, he overlaid the floor of the house with gold, inner and outer sanctuaries. He made two doors of olive wood, carved on them carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and spread the gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. Man, would I like to see that, you know? And how did Solomon know what a cherubim looked like? I wonder what Solomon's cherubims look like. How did he know? You know, had he seen them? I mean, you really want to know. I mean, how did he know? Do you know what a cherubim looks like? You know, I mean, all the pictures, they're amazing. They're like the Sphinx. The Sphinx is a cherubim, okay? So you get down to the Great Pyramid of Giza, and there's this huge tie-in there that I'm not going to get into right now. But there is, you know, the early times on this earth were, you know, very God-ordained, God-controlled. The descendants of Seth, the descendants of Adam, the book of Adam and Eve, there's just a lot of that. So the bottom line, you know, without going any further, then you get what's the first gift God gave to Jesus? Oh, gosh, gold. You know, so Solomon, you know, was just loaded in it. It says that there was so much silver in Jerusalem that it was like stones. Now, silver's not like that anymore. But it was, there was so much of it. And then the Babylonians took over, and then you've got Hiram, king of Tyre. There was something going on with the king Hiram of Tyre. It said he supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold according to all his desires. So King Hiram of Tyre was a wealthy, wealthy man. And he had a relationship with Solomon that we don't fully understand. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. I mean, we're doing some serious trading at this point, right? You know, and then King Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold, and they went to Ophir, the mines of Ophir. No one's ever really nailed down where those are or what they are. My understanding is they're in South America, but, you know, there's two things to consider. One is the fact that they sent people out looking for this stuff, number one. And number two is the earth, in my opinion, this was 3,800 years ago, the earth had still had not, all the tectonic plate shifting had not taken place, and my opinion only is that it was about half the distance that it is now by boat. And then the earth just kept moving and moving and moving. We still have, you know, the Atlantic Ocean spreading and whatnot. And then, you know, not to mention the stars and the moon, and I mean, the way the moon sits and keeps the tides perfect so that it keeps the earth perfectly clean. The water cleanses everything, but it's not too much gravitational pull, or it would pull the water over the mountains. It's not too little, or the water would sit. That's why when you go to the ocean, there's just waves upon waves upon waves upon waves. That's caused by the perfect placement, size, weight, mass, and distance of the moon from the earth. And the fact that the moon faces the earth perfectly, and, you know, its effect on the sun, you know, it gives us night, and it just, we get everything. So I could keep going on this, and I don't think it's fair to you, but I'm looking at 1 Kings. She gave, you know, there's the story of the Queen of Sheba, let's see if this is it. So the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to, now this is how wise Solomon was. People would sit around and listen to his wisdom. He had over 3,000 parables memorized, which he'd obviously created himself. very wise man. So he knew all, unbelievable wisdom. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Now, it says, Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. The food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And then she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and get to hear your wisdom constantly. I mean, can you imagine that, being bathed in the wisdom of the wisest man who ever lived on earth, just constantly being in his presence? I mean, that job alone would be wow. Blessed be the Lord your God. Now, I'll tell you what, I've read stories that the men that worked around Solomon all became incredibly wealthy. Why? Because of the wisdom that he bestowed upon them, they went out and opened their own businesses and, and still worked for him. But they were just so wise. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne. This is the Queen of Sheba speaking of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices, which were very, very valuable then, and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come anywhere as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Listen to this. Never again has such abundance of spices come anywhere as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. So, I mean, you and I, we're not really into investing in spices. Maybe we should be. I don't know. But it's just really interesting that she gave him 120 talents of gold. A talent was basically like a loaf of bread, okay? It was a tremendous amount of gold, absolutely huge. She gave him so much gold, and she had so many questions to ask him. And, what happened to her kingdom after she spoke with Solomon, you know, and she was in, you know, the Queen of Sheba mentioned in the Hebrew Bible and the Quran. She's actually popular in Jewish, Muslim, and Christian, etc. But she controlled Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia at the time, interestingly enough, and she controlled basically Ethiopia and it says many other colonies in addition to that. She was very powerful. And after she came and gave the gold and listened to King Solomon, she became even more wealthy and more successful. Her kingdom, I should say, became much more successful after she came to see him. And it's hard for us to believe. Let me check something out here real quick. I read this. obvious ones. So Queen of Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, blah, blah, blah. So she, after she came and saw the King of Solomon, okay, her nation exploded. It prospered. It was more blessed than ever before. It was the most blessed land on earth. People, you know, even in, they measured things, fertility of women, you know, on and on. But she began to implement the rules and laws of Solomon, the biblical rules and laws. She took back with her Hebrew, you know, the Hebrew scriptures, basically, of wisdom. And anyway, her land just absolutely prospered and exploded. So the money that she donated really made a difference. It really did. And that was interesting. It said, also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in, you know, more almug trees and precious stones. The king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. Such almug trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. Wow. Where did they get these almug trees? From somewhere in South America. Probably near the mines of Ophir. There is rumors of furniture that almug or algum trees, they actually did continue on in Great Britain through the Renaissance and whatnot, but anyway, enough of that. The wealth, splendor, and wisdom of Solomon, the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, okay? Now, that is the equivalent of 666 loaves of bread, sized gold. Now, a loaf of bread in gold is probably about 5 to 10,000 ounces. You could not pick it up. You couldn't. You would need a lot of special equipment to pick that up, unless it was brought in small coinage, which it probably was. They came in round loaves of bread, like a loaf of bread. They were huge. So he got in 1 year 666 loaves of bread. That's just 1 year. And if you figure they were at least 5,000 ounces apiece, that's in 1 year 3.3 million ounces of gold. By today's standards, you know, you're talking $4.3 billion coming in 1 year or more. It depends on the actual way you measure it. There's anywhere from 5 to 10,000. It could have been 8 billion. Just came to him. Just came. I mean, so he definitely was racking it up. I mean, and that was year upon year upon year. So anyway, simplicity says gold is wealth. Okay. That's all I'm trying to explain to you right now. Now, I've been doing this series called Frauds End Suddenly, and I guess I'll continue with it. Of course, I'm short on time. Shocker. Here's a quote from a very respected financial expert. He said, mark my words, this political event will be unlike, or this economic collapse, the next economic collapse, he said, at the very least, will be like anything we've seen since the crash of 29. It will reset the American financial system in ways you cannot imagine, and it will be a national nightmare. And then when you top, see, what you got to realize, folks, is it's, you, I don't have to explain to you, there's a radical socialist movement brewing in America right now in 2019. I mean, you got New York Mayor Bill de Blasio recently said, brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of money in this city. It's just in the wrong hands. And that zero-sum thinking, the attitude is we need to take from them and give to you or whatever. It's just all a game. They won't do all of it, but in Congress, you got like Senators Cory Booker, Kristen Gillibrand, Jeff Merkley. They're all putting together proposals so the federal government can guarantee every American money and a job. I mean, I'll tell you, the frustration sometimes of having employees who intentionally defraud you specifically to get unemployment. Another thing that drives me batty is once you're on unemployment, you don't even have to try. I mean, you don't have to try to get a job. You just fill out some dumb report and say you tried five times in a week, and they that's enough for them. And that is not what the system was ever designed to be. There's the new star in Congress, this nutcase, 29-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Literally, if you took a girl who was just so in a closet of naivete and just put her out there, wow, she is a fruitcake and loopy-doopy nutty fruitcake. Sorry, but she's goofy. She was, of course, a former Bernie Sanders activist who supports every socialist scheme imaginable, including free medical care, free college, free, and tax. She wants tax rates at 70%. And then you get Nobel, when you go to Nobel laureate economist Paul Krugman, who's a big writer for like the New York Times and stuff, he's made the case that 70% taxes are too low. He's pushing for 80 to 90%. Obama said 100% over a quarter million. Now, you might think, well, that's a quarter million dollars. You know, that's enough because I don't make anywhere near that. Folks, you take that money away from people, and I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get a job. You are not going to get a job. You may not want a job. You may be on welfare or disability, but that doesn't change the fact that it will destroy this country. I mean, we have a free market economy, do we not? And yet we've got a free market economy and we've got people that think that we should take every penny over a certain amount from Americans. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren jumped on the bandwagon proposing an annual wealth tax that would give the government an additional $3 trillion in years to come. All across America, the general public is eating this stuff up. A recent Bloomberg poll says 59% of voters are in favor of much higher taxes. Membership in the Democratic Socialists of America has soared seven. Now listen to this. Membership in the what? Democratic Socialists of America has soared 790% in membership in 2 years. In a recent Gallup poll, more Democrats now have a positive view of socialism, 57%, than capitalism, only 47%. What is happening in America and why? And where is it all headed? Today, I mean, you need to look at these facts our politicians are afraid to tell you, including the real reasons, secret reasons, why this socialist trend is erupting all over America, why working-class Americans have gotten dramatically poorer over the last 40 years. Folks, the left has had control of political office, two out of the three offices, for like 92 out of the last 104 years, okay? And what has happened? Everyone's gotten poorer, poorer, poorer. Sure, you know, there's CEOs and tech entrepreneurs and other members of the 1% and that are doing great, and they all have to act poor. They've got to drive around in Toyota Priuses and act like they're saving the environment because otherwise they'll get their head ripped off by the media. There's never been a better time, but then they sneak off in their private jets and their mansion and whatever. There's never been a better time for wealthy Americans, but the truth is, for most people, the situation's getting worse rapidly. There's a secret that explains why the rich are really getting so much richer and while everyone else is falling behind. Why socialism has erupted in America, I've never seen this secret explained anywhere else. I'm talking about a financial event unlike anything we've seen in our country in nearly 50 years, including the political event of Trump becoming president. I'm telling you, folks, this next collapse is going to reset the financial system in ways most Americans can't imagine. And for most, it'll be a negative or a national nightmare. And I'm telling you, the other thing you got to keep in mind is the fact that all these things always happen in the fall. So I'm telling you right now, as I've done in the past, this is the time you prepare yourself. You buy it while it's cheap. The rich and powerful understand assets. They understand precious metals. They understand getting away from the market where Wall Street can rip their head off and they don't get a piece of it. The left is making Americans lividly angry. They're getting very, very angry with all this. I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I've got people that I know and respect that I get my information from, and I just repeat it, okay? And on the reason I repeat it is because they've proven to be true. We've become a globalized world, okay? We literally have so many people that are involved in this next collapse. We've got battles with China that are dropping, markets like flies. Folks, we have China, Russia, Korea. They all hate us. They want to get rid of us. They use us for money. So once Trump jumps in and says no more, no more robbery, no more theft, then what happens? What sets us apart in the financial industry is our independence as a country. We don't accept, historically, we maintained our anonymity. We were unique. We were powerful. This garbage with, we've got this financial, cultural, and demographic pressure cooker. We've seen it in the riots and protests of Charlottesville, Ferguson, Milwaukee, Baltimore. You've seen it in NFL players refusing to stand for the national anthem and arguments about the wall and immigration and in the growing popularity of radical fringe groups like the white supremacists and Black Lives Matter. Obama really lit the fire, did he not? So these uprisings and protests may be nominally about race or Donald Trump or police brutality, but what they're really about underneath it all is money and hopelessness and socialism, and people are going broke. You hear the mainstream press and politicians talking about wealth inequality and all this stuff, and they talk about our social problems and political polarization. What they don't tell you is that the growing disparity between rich and poor in America is only a symptom of our problem. It's not the root cause. Today, the richest 10% of Americans own 75% of the nation's wealth, a level we haven't seen since the 30s. And in the 30s, what happened? We had the crash of 29. Before the crash of 29, what happened? All those in the know ran and bought gold, right? And then what'd they do? They waited about 4 or 5 years and they went and bought everybody's real estate up for pennies on the dollar. So I could go on and on. I'm, as usual, out of time. And I'll just tell you, it's the rich are getting richer, which is fine. Everyone else is losing ground. I'm looking at a chart right now that shows how for most Americans, real wages have been stagnant or falling for decades. The middle class, the most politically and economically stable part of our society, is disappearing. The foundation of the middle class in America was a long history of consistently rising wages, or had, whatever. For millions of Americans, life continued to improve year after year as the value of their wages increased and our economy grew into the world's largest economy on earth. Then we had 9/11, and then we had Bush, who, he was okay, and then we got Obama, and he said he's going to fundamentally transform America, and what did he do? Boom, wham, took our heads off. This is no longer happening. Low-income earners now make less in real terms than they did in 1980 in spending money. Middle-income earners make 6% more than they made in 80. That's an increase of 0.00172% a year. Can you imagine your boss telling you for 34 straight years that you're never getting more than a 0.00172% raise over the entire term? I mean, that's probably a good place to stop just for the sake of time. No wonder people are angry and stressed. They go to work year after year. They work their tail off. Instead, you know, of earning more over time, they're actually earning less. They can't live. They can't buy. It's tough, folks. It's tough, tough, tough. So I'm just telling you right now, it's important that you understand what's driving this anger or whatever it is you want to call it against people. So anyway, it's simple. Prepare yourself. You own precious metals. You're going to own them. They're going up. They're not going down. They're solid. They last. Coins, numismatic, will do a balance. Bullion, lots of bullion, semi-numismatic, which is basically rare or coins that have collectability that trade for their bullion value, which is a bargain. And that's what we look for is value. And then we'll throw in a few little choice pieces. I'm telling you, just please be patient. Think time. Think the size of our nation. Where are we going? What are we doing? What are we becoming? So I do this real quick all the time. Give us a 5-star Google review based on some business experience. Prove it to us. We'll give you a nice quality Morgan Silver dollar. If you do 3 reviews, Yelp and whatever else, we'll give you 2 silver dollars. Now, hope you had a great Mother's Day. Love the sun coming out. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. I love y'all. Take care. Bye-bye.